And joining me now is Andrea Morozik, Manager of Research from the Institute of Family and Marriage Canada. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Jerry.
Argue with anything I just said?
I'm sorry, do I argue with anything? No, I absolutely don't. First things first, though, there are obviously a lot of hurting people there in that community, and so talking about family breakdown is probably not the starting point for them. That said, at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, we do do research pertaining to these sorts of issues, and it is very, very obvious in the research that family breakdown, amounting largely to father absence in communities, is a source of increased aggression amongst our youth. There's studies showing increased risk for incarceration, going to jail for kids who grow up without a father. So it's not a surprise. That's present in the research, and we see that. And we also see it from people who, we hear about this from people who live in the communities, and they will speak about it in documentaries, for example, one done in Toronto called Shattered Dreams a couple of years ago. Single mothers spoke about the difficulties of raising their kids in an environment without their dads. So certainly family breakdown has it is one factor among other factors, but it's an important factor. And what I'd like to stress at this point is that it's the ignored factor because it's difficult to address. And so when the Ontario government does expensive, fancy reports, as they did in 2008, about the roots of youth violence, they chose to ignore, actually, how family breakdown was contributing to the problem. They chose to ignore it in face of research and evidence. They kind of brushed it under the carpet, and we simply can't afford to do that anymore.
Well, I think because people are uncomfortable taking it on, it sounds like you're blaming all the single mothers, but you have to take this on. There's nothing that we could discuss that is more uncomfortable than what happened last night in the city of Toronto. And all of these things have to be open. I talked to Andrea about some statistics that I gathered recently here on the show. People will talk about poverty. However, single family homes are statistically much more likely to be in poverty.
Yeah, and that's another truth. So poverty is a factor for problems in communities, but as you just said, it's Statistics Canada data, by the way. This is not fly by night statistics showing that single parent families are more likely to live in poverty. I'd like to address that issue, though. We're certainly not blaming single mothers. I think that this is actually something that single mothers appreciate when you can talk about the fact that dads are important, that fathers are important, that we can't continue to live in a society where it is okay for fathers to relinquish their responsibilities in the family. And at that point, then I don't want to also blame the men. In many regards, we have made it easier for them to leave, and our culture, we choose in our culture, in movies and ads, etc., to denigrate the roles of men and fathers. Both parents are critical in raising kids. They both bring different things to family strengths. And when families break down, the research is pretty clear on showing that there are risks that come with that. So it's a difficult thing to address. But I think that sweeping it under the carpet is not the solution.
Yeah. Well, I think what started to happen in the 60s and has happened ever since is, and I get this kind of blowback doing the type of show that I do, where people will say, well, you can't put your morals on other people, and you can't say it's none of your business if somebody wants to live their life this way or raise their family this way or that way. It would be none of my business if there weren't bullets flying around the city and kids devastated and kids growing up so angry and so disenfranchised in their life that they thought it was sensible last night to start shooting bullets into a party.
That's right. And this isn't pushing morals on people. The mothers and in these families, they don't want this. I have heard that expressed as well, and I'll refer to that Shattered Dreams documentary again. This is not something that the mothers are choosing or desiring for their lives.
Well, wait a minute, Andrea. At some point, they decided to go and have kids with somebody who wasn't going to stick around. Yes, there are single mothers who find themselves, you know, there was a divorce and they never expected to be in this situation. But many of those are not the ones that are raising the little gangbangers. We've got communities where it seems to be acceptable to start having kids at 15 or 16 years old and go on welfare and raise these kids. And I'm going to check traffic and you can react to that coming up. In-depth radio, News Talk 1010. Again, I'm Jerry Agar, and we're following up on the shootings in Scarborough last night. Two killed, two young people, we understand. 19 were injured in gunfire at a block party in Scarborough, and I guess three others who were injured to some degree in the bumping and knocking over that takes place in the confusion of people running to escape bullets in that kind of situation. So this is just a devastating event that took place in the city last night, and we're discussing it here on News Talk 1010 from a variety of angles. Right now, from the breakdown in the family factor, which I think is ultimately where a lot of this stems from, and I'm doing that with Andrea Morozik. She's the manager of research from the Institute of Family and Marriage Canada. So, Andrea, you said, you know, a lot of government people and lots of other people don't want to blame single mothers, but we do have communities where single motherhood seems to be an accepted way to go, starting about the time you're fertile.
Well, we gave up on a marriage culture. We have ceased teaching children that marriage is important or protective in the raising of kids. So when I spoke about single mothers not choosing this, I still stand by that statement. Nobody goes into their lives saying, I want to raise kids under extremely difficult circumstances and possibly have them turn out to join a gang or go astray taking drugs and drop out of school. Nobody says that. Nobody wants that. That said, we encourage youth today to make bad choices. We encourage them to experience their sexuality in any way, shape, or form. Marriage never enters into that picture, and as a result, babies are born. And so marriage is the glue that keeps people together. It's the glue that it helps fathers to know that they have a purpose and a point in engaging in the family. It helps young men to grow up into adults. It's something that it helps sort of civilize young men as they grow up. When we gave up on marriage, we're starting to see a lot of the effects of that as well. So certainly this isn't finger pointing, but when we talk about the research, we have to be creating a climate in which we reintroduce marriage in our relationships as an important factor, as something that supports kids and keeps parents together when the going gets tough, so that kids are not raised without one parent or the other parent, and both are needed to sort of stabilize our society, our families, our communities.
All right. We'll be hearing from the mayor here momentarily, and when that happens, we'll go to it. But I'm with Andrea Morozik, who's the manager of research at the Institute of Family and Marriage Canada. I don't have a problem, Andrea, putting blame on young men who will go around proudly saying they've got 15 kids, but of course they never see them, they don't know where they are, or they barely know where they are. And any young person, any young girl can make the mistake of getting pregnant, and then she tries to move forward and raise that kid. But if they have a second or a third, that's not a mistake, that's an on purpose. And we're too hesitant, I think, to at some point say, you know what, shame on you.
Well, the factor, the shaming and the stigma associated with it, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. There's something to be said for reintroducing a degree of stigma, but at this point, I think because of the education that is lacking, and we choose not to stress that marriage is an important value, an important way in which to raise kids, you can't talk about shaming people when you have told them that they aren't actually doing anything wrong, and you've taught them that in our education system. So I don't believe in shaming people without providing the tools to do any differently. And right now we do not have an education system with regards to sex ed or sexuality. That if you go through sex ed in our public school system today, you're not going to be talking about marriage. That's not going to come up. It's going to be about condoms and being safe. But relationship structures do not play into that type of education today.
I agree with you, and I appreciate your time. Andrea Morozik is with the Institute of Family and Marriage Canada. It's imfcanada.org. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.